Hi. Hi. Please state your name, your age, and your date of birth.
I'm Anna Brown, age 71, and I was born April 2nd in 1933.
Okay. And where were you born?
I was born on the southeast corner of the airport.
So were you born at home?
Yes, I was.
Do you recall being told about your birth or?
Not really. The only thing I can recall is that a lady by the name of Maggie Fleischman was there to take care of my mother, and she was so glad that I was a girl because there had been four boys before me, and she just couldn't think that she could look into my dad's face again if it had been another boy. And she put the first diaper on me.
So were all of the children born in the home?
Yes. Yes. They were all born at home.
Okay.
Back in those days, you didn't go to the hospital.
And so who told you the stories about the midwife? Do you recall how you knew that?
My mother.
Your mother?
Mm-hmm.
What are your earliest memories?
That's a little hard to think about. I don't recall climbing up the windmill after my folks had it in, but I guess I was about 2 years old when my mother said she caught me climbing up the windmill tower. Of course, you didn't go to town every day back then. You had to wait until the weekend or when it was very necessary.
What did your parents do?
My dad was a farmer.
Okay.
And so he just farmed all of his life, and mom was a farmer's wife. And some of the things that I remember with my dad was milking the cows and having the animals around. And of course, we always hayed in the summertime. And I always had to drive Derek with the old workhorse, watch when they brought a load of hay in, and go get the horse and hitch her up and do the work that had to be done. And then when the load was off, why then they'd go get another load. And then a little bit later, why then I'd have to go and get the horse again. And
so how old were you during that time?
Oh, I was probably 7, 8, 9 years old.
And you were driving the horse at that
point? Oh, yes. Rode the horses early. And, of course, we always had cattle. And we had to go from one pasture, go get the cattle, and bring them down and water them twice a day. And that was kind of my job. And so I just get the old workhorse and go up and get the cattle and bring them down and water and take them back. It was an interesting life, really.
Do you know how many cattle your parents owned at that time?
Oh, probably between 20 and 30. And my dad had, 8 or 10 head of horses. Of course, in those days, you did a lot of farming, did the farming with horses. And then later on, Dad bought a tractor and started farming with the tractor. But earlier, it was horses.
Do you know how old you were when he got the first tractor?
Oh, I think I was probably about 10, 12, somewhere in that area.
How did that change your daily routine?
Well, I don't know that it really changed the routine that much because, of course, they did the farming with the tractor, but then when it come time for haying in the summertime, I still use the horse for driving the derrick.
Now, what is a derrick?
Well, it's a piece of machinery. Well, it was not a tripod, but four, that went up to a point and then had a beam on it and a hook on one end, and they had a pulley with a cable on the other end, and you hooked onto the cable, and the other end had hooks for nets or for the Jackson fork to pick up the hay and then haul it, and then the derrick would swing, the beam would swing so that you could place it on a certain place on the stack, and then there was a trip that would trip the Jackson fork or the nets and let the hay come down onto the stack.
And the Jackson fork then is?
Well, it's was made of four tines, and you would push it into the hay, and then it would clamp, and then it would help hold the hay to swing.
Okay. What other things were farmed?
Hay and grain. There was wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Wheat. And earlier, in the earlier years, my dad had the thresher come and thresh the grain.
Now, did he own the thresher?
No, he had. There was a fellow that did this. That was his business, was going around and threshing grain for the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very... It was quite an interesting day when we'd see the thresher coming down the road to start thrashing the hay. And of course the hay, or not the hay, but the grain. And sometimes it was put into bundles. Years ago they had a binder that they would cut the grain and put it into bundles, and then they would haul it in to the thresher and thresh the grain out of it. And then I remember after the grain was thrashed, why they would load it into sacks and put it on a wagon and pull the wagon with horses into town to unload the sacks.
Into LeGrand?
Into LeGrand, into the flouring mill or into the mill that was there at that time. And then come back and they'd load up and maybe the next day take another load in.
Where were the flouring mills?
I think pretty much to where, well, there was one on Wells Street at one time, and then there was the one on the corner in Island City, in the main street, and then, of course, Gringor's had a mill that burned here 4 or 5 years ago, and I think that was most of it.
So the products that were farmed on your parents' farm, were they sold locally?
Pretty much. Some of it I think was shipped out, but most of it was probably sent to flouring mills and like that to use the flour.
Do you know where it would have been sent out if it was going beyond
no.
The
grain? I think Pendleton had a flour mill at that time, but I'm not positive.
What did a typical day look like? You must have had chores that you had to do.
Oh, yeah.
Besides watering the cows.
Watering the cows, and sometimes if nobody else fell off, the boys wasn't around, I'd milk the cow. Sometimes I had to take care of the chickens, carry in wood, and if Mom liked, well, then I'd help hang up the washing and hoe in the garden. And
how did she do the washing?
Well, as far back as I can remember, she had a gas engine for the washer. And then, of course, she had to heat the water on the stove because we, at that time, we didn't have electricity. We didn't have electricity until about 1947, 48. And so she had to use the gas wash machine. And then heat the water on the stove. And that was quite a project. And I remember Mom having this black iron kettle. And the day that she was, she would put a pot of beans on the stove. And of course, it was a wood stove. And that was our meal for the day, was a pot of brown beans.
How often did she wash?
Once a week.
Once a week?
At least once a week. Mm-hmm. Mondays usually was wash day, Tuesday was ironing. And then the rest of the time, why? Either in the winter time a lot, why she would do sewing, made the boys' shirts, and sometimes she quilted and mended and did whatever else that had to be done.
You mentioned ironing day. How did you iron with no electricity?
Used the flat iron on the stove. Needed the flat iron on the stove, and then when it kind of cooled off while you'd go on, you'd clamp onto another iron and go and use it and let the other one heat up. And then pretty soon, later on, then she had a gas iron that she used.
Were you required to iron as well?
Oh, yes. Required to do a lot of those things. Mother got sick at one time and was in bed, and so I had to do the cooking. And of course, my dad always had to have biscuits and gravy and that kind of stuff for breakfast. And so I had to get breakfast and do a lot of cooking.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had 4 brothers.
No sisters?
No sisters. However, I did have 2 half-brothers and a half-sister, but they were all grown and gone by the time I came along.
So was there a division in what the boys did for chores and what the girls, what you did for chores?
No, there wasn't really. We all did the work whenever that time came. Of course, by the time that I come along, the 2 older boys was getting up there. They were getting about ready to leave by the time I could get up and really remember. So they wasn't around all that much.
Were they expected to do things in the kitchen?
Not as much, because they were expected to work outside more than what I was. But then I did some of the outside work too.
When did you go to school?
Well, let's see. Probably in about 38, 39, I started in a 1-room schoolhouse. The schoolhouse still stands, and it's called Willowdale. And I don't remember now how many students there was. There was quite a few students. But we had all 8 grades. And 1 teacher, and my first grade teacher was Mary D. Kale, who had taught around and taught different ones, taught all 4 of the boys and I. And then the last year of school, there was only 5 attending the school, and then I went to Union School. But a 1-room schoolhouse is interesting.
I bet it is.
To go to. Because when we got there, we had to start the fire and get the fire going. And when it was cold, it took a while.
What would your typical school day be like then?
Well, the first thing off in the mornings, we would line up in the hall and we would march into our seats. And if I recall, there was 5 things. We had to salute the flag. Pledge of Allegiance, well, that would be the same as Pledge of Allegiance, say the states and capitals, and the presidents, and it seemed like there was 2 other things that we had to do, but I can't recall what those are right now. But there was from 1 to 5 things that we had to do before we could sit down for lessons.
And then when lessons began, what were the major subjects that you studied?
Well, English, math, arithmetic, spelling, history, the regular lessons that you have pretty much now. course, there was some things we didn't have bookkeeping, that kind of thing. That was in your arithmetic anyway, I guess. But,
did the same teacher teach all of the subjects?
Yeah, at that time. Mm-hmm. And there was usually all 8 grades in that one-room schoolhouse. And I don't recall when my brothers was going to school how many there was in that school, but there was some, I would say, between 1 and 25 in the neighborhood. And she had all those children and taught all 8 grades. So different what it is now.
What did you find most challenging to do your work with the different age groups in the class?
The most challenging would be to keep your mind on your studies instead of listening to everybody else.
You mentioned you went to Willowdale School. Where was that located?
It's located a mile north of Hot Lake on Peach Road.
And how far is that from the house you grew up in?
Probably within 2 miles.
So how did you get to school?
Well, most of the time the teacher would come by and pick us up. But if the roads were bad, then it was different. The folks would try to get us to school, because a lot of times she would go the other way, go down the highway to Hot Lake and then down. But because that was graveled, that road was graveled a lot quicker than what our road was.
Did she pick up all of the students?
No. No, the way where I was living was kind of the most direct route to the schoolhouse, and so she would pick us up. And some of the children walked, had to walk if the parents didn't bring them. Most of the time it was walking. For a lot of them.
And what was the mode of transportation for the other kids? Was you driving cars to school?
Well, she did, but the rest of them was either horseback or walking.
So when they rode the horse to school, where did the horse stay during the day?
There was a barn that they would put them in. And my 7th grade school teacher rode the horse to school quite a bit. And so she had her horse tied up there more than some of the rest of them. But most of the time they would walk.
How long was your school day?
I think she would pick us up around 8:15, 30. And then at 4 o'clock would be the end of the day.
And then you did chores after school?
You bet. That was always on the agenda. You had to make sure that the wood was in, and because if you didn't, then you would be cold. So you had to make sure there was plenty of wood in and whatever Mom had me to do.
Did you have homework?
Oh yes, everybody, homework. There was some, not always a lot, but there was some. And if not, why then I'd read and do some of those things. I loved spelling. That was my best subject.
Mm-hmm. How did you see the education change over the years?
I think education really began to change when they did away with the one-room schoolhouse.
Do you recall when that was?
Well, my last year of one room was 44 and 45, I believe it was, because I spent my 8th grade year in Union. And then I started high school the fall of 46.
In Union?
In Union. Mm-hmm. the bus would come by and pick me up 7:30 in the morning, and I'd get home at 5 o'clock at night.
That sounds like a long day.
Yeah, it was a long day. And then, of course, if there was ball games and they used that particular bus, why, we'd have to ride part of one of the other routes before we would get home. And so it was always a little bit later. But it was a fun time.
Was that your first experience on a bus?
Mm-hmm. When I had to go to school on the bus.
Where did you play as a child?
Well, in the yard, in the barn, in the haymow. There was a little gal right next door, and so we played together quite often. She was a Mongoloid, and so we had a good time playing together. And it was either in their yard or my yard or around.
What was your favorite activity to do?
At that time? I know when we played together, she always wanted to play house, and so she'd be the mother, and I'd be the child, and I teased her so unmercifully. But she took it good-naturedly.
Did you have many toys?
No. We didn't have that many toys back then. Sometimes I remember the boys would make a top out of a spool of thread, or the spool from thread, it was wooden, and they would make a top and we'd play with that, or we had jacks, or mumble peg.
What's mumble peg?
Mumble peg was with a knife.
With a knife?
And you had different ways of doing it and holding it and making it stick into the ground.
Were you ever injured playing that game?
No, because you knew you had to be careful. Jacks was another game. Chinese checkers was another game. Dominoes. Flinch.
And what is flinch?
It's a card game, and it's a lot like, But it's a game that you build from 1 to 15 or 15 back to 1. And you have a pile in front of you, and you play off in that first before you play anything else. And then if you don't play off in that and the other person catches you, right, then they can take a card from their pile and stick underneath yours. And the purpose is to get through that pile and be the winner.
Did you play that game with your parents?
With my mom. That's how I learned to count, was by playing points.
Do you recall playing with your dad?
Not too much. He didn't play the games as much as what mom did. Because he was always outside. And when he came in, well, he was ready to just sit and read the paper or read whatever there was around.
But what about playing with your brother?
Well, the one brother I remember playing with more. But when I was getting up there, he had rheumatic fever, and we played the Chinese checkers and that kind of games, and when he had to be in bed. Isn't that strange? Well, then, it was, I don't remember now what point it was, why mom started me on piano lessons. And I played the piano.
How old were you then?
I was probably 7, 8, 9 when I started.
How long did you play?
Until I was out of high school.
Did you have a piano in your home?
Yes. We were very fortunate to have a piano in the home. mother played the piano, and then two of the boys, one learned to play the trombone, and one learned to play the baritone. And of course we all, and I played the piano, and we'd all practice at the same time. Each a different key, each a different song. It's no wonder my mother got gray young.
What did you do in town? And you said you did not go to town very often, but when you did, what was the purpose?
Just the purpose, well, just for the shopping, the regular shopping. Mother had chickens and she'd take eggs to the store, sell it. And just the regular shopping of what there was to do.
Do you recall what she would have got for eggs?
$0.30, $0.40, $0.50 a dozen probably at that time. Pretty close to it.
Can you describe the shopping during that time?
Well, it was pretty much the same. I think we had a few more stores than what we have now. There was an H.T. Stevens store, and of course there was a Penny's. What used to be Payless, there was a Sprouse Rice. And there was a First National Bank. Radio and Music Supply Store was some of the older stores at that time that I can recall.
Do you recall any differences in how you shopped at that time and how you would shop now?
You could find more sizes back then that would fit than you can now.
Okay.
But other than that, of course, the styles change, of course.
What were the earliest styles that you can remember?
The bell bottoms. Of course, when the styles come in, there was a lot of styles I couldn't wear. My dad always made me wear my clothes mid-knee. And so, that's where I had to wear my clothes. I couldn't wear them any different. And I wasn't allowed shorts. But when Dad wasn't around the house, I had a pair of shorts, so I took them. And when I found them, I'd go change.
Were you allowed to wear any cosmetics or?
No.
Perfume?
Of course, there wasn't money enough to buy that kind of stuff back then. And I never did really wear too much perfume anyway. And of course, soaps was about all the perfume that we had at that time. But, like I said, there just wasn't that much money to go out and buy all the things that a person does now. So.
Did you raise most of your meats, or did you purchase those in town?
No, we raised our meat. Dad had the cattle, of course, and we'd feed out a steer and butcher the animals. And he had pigs, and we'd have butcher the pigs. And, of course, he didn't go hunting like some of the people do. And of course, Mom had chickens. We always had chickens. And that was our eggs. And I meat that way too. When I was a kid and, oh, I don't know how old I was, but I know it happened even when I was a year, 2 or 3 years old. Dad always had this neighborhood day of everybody would bring their pig and he'd build a fire down in the shop and have this fat and put the water in there and scald the pigs and clean and dress them out, you know, and everybody would bring their pig, and that was butchering day.
Do you recall how many people participated?
Oh, there was 5 or 6, maybe 7 in that area. I never really counted them, but then I'm sure that that's what there was.
Speaking of neighbors, Do you recall how the neighbors were involved in your life?
Well, they were always, we were always back and forth and helping one another. Whatever there was, like, they'd come in and help if need be, and we'd go help them. So we were involved with the neighbors around.
How was your family involved in the community?
Well, there was not that much of the community involvement at that time. We did have what was called the American Sunday School Union that met down at the schoolhouse every week. And we would get to that. Of course, the folks were members of the Grange, and that was twice a month. And between the Grange and that American Sunday School Union was just about all the activities that I remember of having.
What was the purpose of the American Sunday School?
It was a Christian it wasn't actually a church, but it was a form of a church. That at least we got some guidance that way.
So did it involve a Bible study?
Yeah.
Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, you always had a Bible study, and there was a fellow, the missionary would give a message, and sometimes we would meet in the different homes and have a potluck dinner or whatever during that time.
Did they attend a regular Sunday church service, or was this in place of?
Yeah, this was in place of. This was in place of. And then after, oh, I don't remember now when it was that they disbanded the American Sunday School Union, and then some of the neighbors began to go into town to church, and so I went with the neighbors for Sunday school and church.
Where did you attend?
Well, I attended a couple different places, and then I ended up by going to the First Christian Church. I was baptized in the First Christian Church and have been a member of that pretty much all my life. My husband and I, my first husband and I, were married, the first ones married, in the educational unit of the church that is now in La Grande. Oh. And that's been, what, 54 years ago. And there's been a lot of changes through that 54 years.
I bet there has. Let's back up just a little bit before we move into that, into those marriage years. Describe to me your high school years.
Well, I really didn't. I did get to do a few things, but I didn't get to do too much because I always had to get on the bus and come home. So I'd go to school in the morning and I'd come home in the evening. So I really didn't get to do all that much until the last year. I was able to do a little bit more. I got on the volleyball team and got to play a couple games, and then he had to have my appendix out. So I didn't get to finish out the year with that. But I played the piano, and I was always the accompaniment for the glee club. And I could play the trombone in the band. And of course, there was always something going on all the time with music and playing and everything. So,
did you find that there was a lot of community support for extracurricular activities?
Yes, there was. There was a lot. Of course, at the ball games, a lot of times when they were the home games, where then the band had to play, and so I was able to go and play in the band at the ball game, and which was interesting. And it was good years.
Did you wear a uniform for
yes.
the band?
Yep. not always for the ball games, but then we had uniforms. And the one thing that the band had to do in order to get our letter was we had to go to the livestock show, we had to play 2 days out of the three, and we had to march in the parade. And that was before we could even get our letter. And that's a big switch than what it is now.
Do you recall what the school colors were? Have they
red
changed?
Red and white.
So they have not
they
changed?
They have not changed, and they're still the Bobcats. One of the interesting things about Union School is my mother graduated from Union School, all four of my brothers and myself. And now I have a granddaughter that's going to graduate next year from school, okay, from Union.
So you have seen many changes in the
yes,
in school.
Yes, a lot of changes. They certainly don't teach what they used to.
Can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, what they need to do is to go back and learn the 3 R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. Learn their sounds, how to sound out a word. That's what they need to do. And make sure they can read, because a lot of these kids cannot read.
What are some of the other changes in the education process that seem most significant to you?
That's a hard one to... It's been a while since my kids went to school. The most significant. The kids don't really have to... Well, they're supposed to go to school, but... they don't have to stay at school as much as what we had to. Of course, there was a lot of kids that skipped school back then, too, as much as what they do now. Well, one of the things is that the teachers cannot correct the kids like they used to.
How did they discipline the kids when you were in school?
Well, sometimes you could get a little whack on your hand, or you might... Or you would stand in the corner, or, you know, some of those things. And if you got reprimanded at school, you was reprimanded at home, when you got home. And that is something that is not allowed today.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hardly touch a child. And that's sad. It really is sad.
Was it common for everyone to graduate during that time?
Mm-hmm. But there's always few that didn't. But it was common for everybody to. Of course, I wanted to graduate and go through the exercises and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think that's kind of meaningful.
Had your parents graduated from high school?
My mother did. My dad didn't, but my mother did. My mother taught for a year while she was married.
Mm-hmm. So when you were growing up, was it expected that you would complete school?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what was the expectation towards college?
If you wanted to go to college, where there's a will, there's a way, there we would have been able to, I think. But I didn't really want to go to college. It was a little difficult for me, but so before I was out of high school, I was engaged to be married, so I waited a year and was married.
So when did you get engaged?
Well, when I was in high school, and I was what, probably 17.
How did that happen?
Well, my mother and I went to church one day after my 16th birthday, and this young fellow came up and asked me to go to church with him that night, and that was the beginning. And so we continued on and was married and built our life around the church.
Mm-hmm. Describe to me what dating was like.
Well, it wasn't like it is now. A lot of times we just go down and sit on the street and watch the people go by. Once in a while we'd go to a show or we'd go visit friends. But it was different than it is now.
Did you have a curfew?
Yes. And I was usually in by that curfew, I think it was 11 o'clock, until one night, it was way after 12, and my mother wasn't very happy, and I said, well, now listen. I said, we were on our way home, and we looked up, and the neighbor's house was on fire, so we went to help the neighbors with their fire, and so next day she heard about it, so she reluctantly forgave me.
Did he drive?
Yes. And we did our courting in a little Jeep for a number for 2 or 3 years, and then he got a car that we used.
Did you drive?
Yes. I started driving when I was 11 years old with a Model A under my brother's hat.
And when did you get your license?
When I was 16. And of course, my brother said, oh, she won't get it, she won't get it, she hasn't driven in town. I got it that day, and they had to try 2 or 3 times before they got their license.
Do you recall anything being different then about driving than it is now?
The only thing is the standard drive car. Mm-hmm. But the rest of it is pretty much the same as what it was then. Mm-hmm. Of course, more updated cars, but then that's progress.
What was your first car?
47 Chevy. That's the one that he had. I never had a car, but he had the car.
So you graduated from Union High School in what year?
1950.
With how many students in your class?
36 or 37 students.
And what happened after that?
Well, then I went and worked for my brother down at Condon for the summer, and then during the winter time, I took care of a little girl here in town, and the following June, then I married and moved here in this house. That was 51,
And you moved into a house located where?
In this house, located, well, it's on the southwest corner of Pearson Bond, across from the airport. And this is where my husband lived.
And there's a helicopter now.
He was born and raised in this house and lived here all of his life. And so this is where I spent most of my life. I did move to Pendleton for about 6 years, and then I was in Portland for 2 years, and traveled for almost a year, and then come back in 1995, and this is where I've been ever since.
So he was born and raised in this home. When you moved into it with him,
mm-hmm.
Were his parents here?
No. No, his parents had moved on. His mother had passed away early, and then his father had lived in town, and he was in partnership with his brother, his sister and brother-in-law, with this place.
So he had inherited the home.
Well, he
partially.
Didn't really inherit it. He bought it from his folks. Mm-hmm. And that's where he stayed.
Can you tell me more about your wedding?
Well, I was supposed to be married the 3rd of June, and the night before my dad passed away. So we were married 2 weeks later. And like I said, we were the first ones married in the educational part of the First Christian Church. And it looks a lot different now than it did that day. My mother made my wedding dress. And I felt that much. I don't know that I could get into it now. But
was it expected in this community that women would graduate and get married?
A lot, I think. But there was, I don't know what percentage, but then there was a lot that went on to school too, and with teachers and different fields.
Was there a college here?
Yes.
At that time?
There's been a college here for way back that I can remember, and I think it was there probably when I was born. So, it's been there for quite a while.
So after you got married, did you have children right away?
It was about 2 years when the first one came along, and then about 16 months later another one, and 13 months later another one, and 2 years and a month another one.
So you had four children?
I had four children.
Now what did you do before the children came? There were 2 years when you first married. Were you
just worked here on this place, and of course it was a farming place, mm-hmm. and different things going on. And in the summertime particularly, in the evenings, why, besides all the canning and the gardening and everything, why, I'd have the chores done, cows milked and chickens fed and the eggs gathered by the time that they'd come in, sometimes too, and eat supper until 10 o'clock at night. Because as long as they could, they would work out in the field. Mm-hmm. And if during haying, well, even during harvest time, why, along about 10 o'clock, why, we'd fix some coffee and maybe some sandwiches or cookies or something, and take out the guys and let them have a break and then feed them dinner. The afternoon's the same thing.
How big was the work crew?
It was just him and his brother-in-law mainly was the work crew. Sometimes in the summertime with him, there might be two or three extras around to kind of help to get it done in a hurry. But most of the time, why, it was just the two.
And did you have help cooking?
Well, between my sister-in-law and I. But then we'd usually have our own meals once in a while. We'd be up there or they'd be down here. And kind of shared it a lot of times.
What kinds of things did you can from your garden?
Mm-hmm. Beans. Peas, tomatoes. What else did we have? Of course, corn. And of course, they always had electricity, or there was electricity here. And we had a freezer, and we'd fix the corn and stuff. And then we had raspberries, and sometimes strawberries. We'd get those in the freezer. And whatever else there was around that we would get. That's it.
So did you do much shopping at the grocery store? Or did you raise most of your food?
We raised most of our food. Of course, we always had a lot of milk. And I baked bread. And so there really wasn't, only just sometimes the little extras around that we would get. And a lot of times there wasn't that many extras either. Of course, we always had the milk with the cows, and we had the chickens and the eggs and the meat, so there wasn't really much to buy at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you wanted oranges or something a little bit different in your diet than what you had.
Do you recall what you were paying for utilities and your mortgage payment and things like that when you were first married?
Well, when I was first married, we didn't have a very big mortgage payment because it was pretty well paid out. And I think it was, what, 2 or 3 years that we got the place paid for, and so we didn't have a mortgage payment. I don't remember now what the electricity was. Between the two houses, probably $40, maybe $45 between the two houses.
And what do you mean the two houses?
Well, there was another house built on part of the property in 1950, and that's where my husband's sister and brother-in-law lived. And so, and like I said earlier, that they were in partnership. And so there was the two houses to maintain.
So then the children started coming along.
Yes.
Had your parents or your mother specifically prepared you for having children?
Oh, yes. I don't think they prepared them as much as what they do now.
Mm-hmm.
But then you knew. When you were born and raised on a farm, you know a lot of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And
so where did you have your children?
I had them at the St. Joseph Hospital in La Grande. All four of them.
Is there anything significant about the hospital that you recall?
No. It was a Catholic hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it hasn't been there for a number of years. I don't remember now what year it was that it went out. But there really isn't, other than being Catholic. And that's where the doctor went, so that's where I went.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about your children.
Well, my son, my oldest boy, Bill, lives in Adams, and he is working for Terry Clark at the Pioneer Concrete and Pipe Company in Pendleton. And he has four children, one adopted, and is married to Amy, who is working for ESD over there. And then my daughter, Gwenna, is living in High Valley, and she's a phlebotomist at the La Grande Hospital in the lab, has been. She's worked there at the hospital for 25 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And she has two grandchildren. Well, Bill has a couple grandchildren. So I have 6 grandchildren and 4 greats.
What was it like raising the children on the farm?
Well, at least you kind of knew where they were at. You didn't have to worry about them running off down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were pretty much right around, you know. And there was always other couples that we knew that their children would come out. And oftentimes there was at least 7 to 8 children around here running around.
17?
Seven.
Oh, seven.
7 to 8.
7 to 8.
Children. Uh-huh. And so at least they weren't running around the streets.
How do you think their growing up was different than yours? Since both of you grew up on a farm just across the field from one another.
Well, there was a few more advantages from the time in their lifetime. Of course, they had to get on the bus and go to school. But when Bill turned 16, why, he could drive, and then they could go to the ball games and do a few things. Although we tried to, if they had things going on at school that they needed to go to school for, we tried to make sure that they were able to do that.
Mm-hmm. And where did they go to school?
In La Grande. Bill started at Willow and then Greenwood and the junior high and high school. That's where they went.
Are those schools the same today as when your children attended?
Well, in Greenwood is, of course, the middle school, which was the junior high school. That building is gone and it's a new. But the high school is pretty much the same as what it was back then. Mm-hmm.
Did the children take lunch from home, or was there a lunch program at school?
There was a lunch program, but they would take some lunches at home, and sometimes why they would eat lunch at school.
Did you work?
Yes. I started working in 1966. I didn't want to go to work that summer, but the job was handed to me, and I worked in a print shop for 20 years. And it started out as the weekly newspaper, Eastern Northern Review. And then he sold the newspaper, and it was a job shop. And in 75, we had a fire that burnt the shop. And he bought Palmer Printing, and that's what it's called now, is Palmer Particular Printers.
So how old were the children when you decided to work outside of the home?
Well, let's see, 66. Brian was, what, 7, 8, the others was 8 and 9. And I knew I was going to have to go to work, but I didn't want to go to work in the fall. But then when you have a job handed to you, you take it. And I worked 5 hours a day for a while. And then it turned into a full-time job. Sometimes it was 6 days a week. And of course, when Livestock Show came around and the Elgin Stampede, why, it was more days. And we did the book for the Shrine Game. We did that book for a number of years, and so we had to put in a lot of extra time mm-hmm. at that time.
What was your job specifically?
My job was more or less in the bindery department, but I was a gopher. I'd go for this and go for that. I can't find this, I can't find that. Anna, will you find it? And I just did different things all through the shop. And it was interesting work. I really enjoyed it. Even though you did a lot of the same thing over and over and over, it was different. Each day was a little different. Mm-hmm. And then I did a lot of delivering of the jobs every morning. And then at one time we had a little newspaper that we put out on Tuesdays, and I would deliver that around in Union and the Grand area.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting. I kind of miss it.
How long did you do that?
I did this for 20 years. And then I quit and went to Pendleton. That's when I married my Charlie Brown. He was living over there and had a business over there. So that's when I moved to Pendleton.
So how long were you then away from Union County?
From 86 until 95.
Okay. And when you came back, what happened?
I came back into this house that I moved.
Same house?
The same house that I moved into when I was first married. And I'm still here.
Was the family, was the house still owned by family, or how did you manage
yes.
to get into the same home?
No, it was owned, but I still owned this house.
Oh, you still owned it?
I still owned the house.
Okay.
So, my daughter lived here for a while, and then we had it rented for a couple of years. And then when I come back, then I moved back into the house.
Mm-hmm. Have things changed at all in Union County in your absence?
Well, I suppose a few things. The Orange City Strip has added more places. But it pretty much stayed the same.
What is it about Union County that has led to your staying here all of these years, with just only a short absence in between?
Roots.
Roots? Can you explain what you mean?
Well, I don't know if I can explain, but it was, it just seems like this was the natural thing to do, was just to stay here. I've done some traveling, and I haven't seen anything I liked any better. Mm-hmm. So, I just stay here.
Is it the people, or the weather?
Probably the people. Because of the many friends that are around.
When you returned to LeGrand, to this home, after your short stay in Pendleton, what did your husband do for work in the area?
Well, he had retired by the time we come back. He was a mechanic for the railroad for 43 years, and that's where he retired.
Mm-hmm.
And we came back here on this place and just more or less kind of maintained the place.
Mm-hmm.
And we came back.
And did you still farm?
No. No, I rented since 1978. The farm has been rented out.
And what prompted you to make the decision to rent out the farm?
Well, because in 1978 is when my son was killed, and he was the one that was going to take over the farm. And so that was the decision I had to make, was to rent it out.
Mm-hmm.
So. And it's been rented out ever since.
Mm-hmm. Anna, you mentioned a tragic thing that happened in your life in 1978. Would you like to discuss that?
Well, the most tragic thing was that my youngest son, at the age of 20, was killed in a pickup wreck. He was a wrestler, had been a wrestler since he was in the fourth grade. And he had attention immediately, but it was not to be that the good Lord wanted to call him home. And then after that, the high school, the wrestling team, has this wrestling match held in December. It's the Oregon Trail Nylenberg tournament in his memory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been going on since 78, I'm pretty sure. 78 or 79.
And how do you think this tragedy how do you think living in Union County supported you during this tragedy?
Because of all the people that knew him, the people at school